Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be concluding our study of Nehemiah by looking at the resettlement in Jerusalem. So let's turn in our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 3. Follow along as Pastor Chuck begins today's lesson.
Now, these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, and the priests and the Levites and the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem there dwelt certain of the children of Judah and of the children of Benjamin, the children of Judah. And it gives the names of them, and we're not going to go through that. The sons of Perez that dwelt in Jerusalem were 468 valiant men. And it gives you the names of the sons of Benjamin that were there. In verse 7, in verse 10, it tells you the priest. And the number of the priests that did the work in the house were 822, verse 12. It gives you the names of the Levites in verse 15, and they had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. The priests did the offerings. The Levites took care of the grounds and the repairs and things of that nature, the outward business of the house of God. And it gives you these sons of Asaph in verse 17, who was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And then the porters, verse 19, and then the residue of Israel, the priests, the Levites, in verse 20, and just the names and the villages and so forth that really do not minister to us. Chapter 12. We have the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, their names. The Levites in verse 8, and then the chief of the Levites in verse 22. Verse 24, the latter portion, their duty was to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, verse 27, they sought the Levites out of their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps. And so the great celebration as they're going to dedicate these walls. And so the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country, round about Jerusalem, from the villages of and also from the house of Gilgal and the fields of Geba and so forth. And I'm not going to read all those names either. With their musical instruments that David, the man of God, had established for them. Twice here, David is mentioned as the man of God. I like that. I like that title. Would to God that we could all be known as men and women of God. David, the man of God, that just has a good ring to it. And verse 42, the singers sang loud. Also that day they offered great sacrifices, and they rejoiced, for God had made them to rejoice with great joy, and the wives also and the children rejoiced. The dedication of the walls, they were all rejoicing, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Everyone there celebrating, rejoicing with the musicians, the cymbals, the psalteries, the harps, the singing, and a time of great rejoicing and celebration. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits and tithes. And so they appointed these people to take care of the financial aspects of the temple. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. So those whose ministry was just to sing and to lead the people in singing of songs and praises. Chapter 13, on that day, the day of the dedication, when they were reading in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, it was found written that an Ammonite and a Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. The reason God forbid them was their treatment of the Israelites who were coming out of Egypt, coming into the promised land, and how that the Moabite king Balak had hired Balaam to come and put a curse on these people. But I love this. However, or howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. And how often does God work in our behalf, turning the curses into blessings? Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated out of Israel the mixed multitude, that is, the Moabites and the Ammonites that were there. Now, we sort of shift gears here. We come sort of to the end at that point. And now we're going to move into a little different scenario. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, who had the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied to who? This guy, Tobiah. The guy who had given Nehemiah such a bad time. The guy who worked so hard to hinder the work of the rebuilding of the wall. He was an enemy to Nehemiah. He had conspired against him. And yet, here he was allied with one of the priests, Eliashib. And Eliashib had even prepared him a great chamber in the temple, gave him this place where they used to store the meal offerings, where the grain used to be stored for the meal offerings in the temple, cleaned out this chamber and gave it to this enemy of the work of God, Tobiah. The chamber where they used to keep the meal offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithes of the corn, new wine and oil, and so forth. And during this period of time, Nehemiah had gone back to the palace in Shushan, back to the king of Persia. He was away. While he was away, here these guys, Tobiah and Sanballat, move right in. How often, when the enemy cannot conquer any other way, he moves right in. Moves right into the church. Can't defeat it, I'll join it, you know. And seeks then to destroy from within. And so during this time, I was not at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, I came to the king, and I was there for a certain number of days, but then I got permission from the king again to leave. And when I came to Jerusalem, and I understood the evil that this priest Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, it grieved me sore. And therefore I cast forth all of the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. He went in and just cleaned house, tossed all the furniture out that Tobiah had moved into this chamber. He just clean the thing up. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither I brought again the vessels of the house of God with the meal offering and the frankincense, put it back to its original intent and purpose. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, every one to his field. Now, you remember these guys had just made the covenant in the last couple chapters ago, you know, we'll give a third of a shekel and we will, you know, pay the tithes out of our first fruits. Words, you know. They didn't follow through. It's easy at times of emotional fervor when God is moving to say, oh, God, you know, I'll give you everything. Or make rash kind of vows and commitments unto the Lord. Usually a person makes a vow in order to gain favor or to extract from God some special favor. Lord, I'll do this for you if you did this for me. Jacob sort of did this when he took off from the land. He said, Lord, if you bring me back to this land in peace again, when I come back, I'll give you a tenth of everything, and you know, I'll do this and this and this. And it was a vow that he made to God, sort of with the purpose of inducing God to do special things for us. I have found that for the most part, the making of a vow is only to have confidence in the flesh. Lord, this is what I am going to do for you. And thus, I shy away from making vows because I have no confidence in my flesh. Here, they made these great pledges. We'll seal it. I'll sign it, man. I'll sign the covenant. This is what I'm going to do. But Nehemiah gets back and he finds that the priests, the Levites have all gone out to their fields. They're all working in their fields again. The support wasn't coming in for them. Then I contended with the rulers and I said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. And then brought all of Judah, the tithe of the corn, the new wine, the oil, into the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries. Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe of the Levites. And Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, son of Zachor. And I hate these names. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute to their brethren. So these men, faithful men, and their job was to take and to distribute the goods unto the Levites. And then Nehemiah puts in a little plug for himself. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Lord, put down a good mark on me for that one. And in those days saw I in Judah some who were treading the wine presses on the Sabbath. Here they were out there treading the wine presses. They were barefooted, jumping on the grapes. It was the Sabbath day. They were bringing in the sheaves, that is, the bundles of grain out of the field. They were loading down their donkeys, as also the wine grapes and the figs and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold the victuals. Now there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of goods. And they sold them on the Sabbath day to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. And I contended with the nobles of Judah, and I said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do, and you profane the Sabbath day? Here is Nehemiah just gone for a short time, back to the king of Syria to keep his commitment there. When he gets back, things are already going apart. How important is strong leadership? Here we find it was very important. This man of God, Nehemiah, diligent in the things of the Lord, the people vacillating. And he said to them, what are you doing, profaning the Sabbath days? Did not your fathers do this? And did not our God bring on this evil upon us and upon this city? And yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, Friday afternoon, I commanded that they should shut the gates, and I charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And I set some of my servants at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So Nehemiah took charge here. Friday evening, before the sun goes down, shut the gates, keep them shut. And he set his servants there to watch to see that no one would try to bring burdens in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of goods stayed outside of Jerusalem once or twice. And then I came out against them and I said unto them, why are you lodging about the wall? If you do it again, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. So he went out there and threatened them. And sometimes people need to sit on you. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. And then, again, tossing up, remember me, Lord, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. Now, the interesting thing, he's holding up his work, saying, you know, don't forget, you know, this good thing, but Lord, really, I'm looking for mercy. Spare me according, not to my works, but spare me according to the greatness of my mercy. Now, when we have received the gift of God, our hearts seek to respond, and we do things for the Lord. We get involved in serving the Lord. We want the Lord to observe our service. But when we come to him for his blessings and for his salvation, we come not on the basis of our service or our works, but we come on the basis of God's mercy. Spare me, Lord, according to the greatness of your mercy. If I am a child of God, my life is going to bring forth fruit. I do not look to the fruit as the basis of my salvation. I look to the works or the fruit as the proof of the genuineness of my faith. If a person doesn't have good fruit, if a person doesn't have any works, then it would follow that he really doesn't have a genuine faith. A genuine faith in God will produce good fruit in your life and good works for the kingdom. In those days, I also saw the Jews that had married wives from Ashdod, the Philistine city, of Ammon and of Moab. Now, the Ammonites and Moabites were not to be in the congregation of God. And their children spoke half in the speech of Ashdod, and they could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each of the people. And I contended with them, and I cursed them, and I smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. And I made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for your sons. I mean, he got tough. He got rough with them. Held them down. Pulled out their hair. Got his knee on their neck and says, now swear. You're not going to give your daughters or sons to be married unto these others. For did not Solomon, the king of Israel, that wise man, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Watch out for outlandish women. Solomon, with all of his wisdom, was taken in by them, and because of them, was led to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law to this guy Sanballat. Now, Eliashib was also tied in marriage to Tobiah, the high priest. Here he is in alliance with these two enemies. Therefore, I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. And thus I cleansed them from all of the strangers, and I appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. So the thrice asking God, you know, don't forget, Lord, what I have done. Remember me.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson as we begin our study of Esther. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith begins his verse-by-verse study of Esther. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you now, and may you walk with Him as He wants us to walk at all times, not just today and tomorrow, but He wants us always to walk in expectancy and in preparedness for His return. Watch ye therefore, and be ye ready, for you know not the day or the hour the Son of Man comes. But His word to us is, watch, be ready. May you be watching and may you be ready for our Lord's return. God bless you.
We're excited to announce that the Word for Today Bible is back, with more notes by Pastor Chuck highlighting a clear understanding of the Scriptures. And after much research and consideration, we have produced quality leather and paperback bindings that are durable and strong, able to withstand the test of time. Features include Words of Christ in red, an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, special study notes by Pastor Chuck with Hebrew and Greek word origins and definitions, the history of Calvary Chapel, and the book, How Can a Man Be Born Again?, which can be very informative for new believers. It's our prayer that as you read the Word for Today Bible, Pastor Chuck's commentaries will give you an insightful understanding into the Scriptures, causing God's Word to come to life in your own heart. For more information, please call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. You can read a sneak preview of the Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.